Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. There is so much going on today beyond Fauci and the masks and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there's great news as far as SNL having the lowest ever viewership this past week. I guess Elon Musk wasn't their biggest problem. And there's also a story about a CNN contributor who's pro-Hitler. They've since fired him, but he's been pro-Hitler for a while. So I don't know what took so long to dig up those old tweets. You'll notice that CNN and those kind of news networks, they have no problem digging up the old tweets of like 16-year-old people who are drafted into whether it's the NHL or the NFL. If they get a high school grad, they can find all of their old tweets. But their own journalist has tweets that say, "Hail Hitler," and they somehow that slipped through the cracks. And I do want to get to all of that, but let's face it, it is a mask kind of day. This is the topic that is on everyone's mind. I want to give people the chance to talk about it. 844-500-4242. At 1:30, I will be talking to Neil McCabe about this Israel-Palestine conflict and what's going on there. And the story, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, Jared, but Hamas was in this, no, I shouldn't say Hamas. Al Jazeera was in the same building as the AP.
Yes.
So we're going to ask him a few questions. You know, it's there's something that's missing in that story, and you're not going to hear about it in the mainstream media, obviously, but you'll hear about it here. But first, before we take your calls, before we do anything, we got to talk about this piece in the New York Times because it blows my mind. It's titled, and this is, I guess this is the second dramatic reading in a short amount of time from the New York Times, because they've been coming up with some real whoppers. What can I say? They're vaccinated and keeping their masks on, maybe forever. Whenever Joe Glickman heads out for groceries, he places an N95 mask over his face and tugs a cloth mask on top of it. He then pulls on a pair of goggles. Going to repeat that last line. He then pulls on a pair of goggles. He has used this safety protocol for the past 14 months. It did not change after he contracted the coronavirus last November. It didn't budge when earlier this month he became fully vaccinated. And even though President Biden said on Thursday that fully vaccinated people do not have to wear a mask, Mr. Glickman said he planned to stay the course. In fact, he said he plans to do his grocery run double masked and goggled for at least the next 5 years. Even as a combination of evolving public health recommendations and pandemic fatigue lead more Americans to toss the masks they've worn for more than a year, Mr. Glickman is among those who say they plan to keep their faces covered in public indefinitely.
Wild West pimp style.
And I just want to say, as far as this masking goes, Rand Paul had been saying for the last few months that this is theater, that once you're fully vaccinated, it's complete theater. And something happened, might have something to do with gain of function, it might not, but something happened in the last 2 or 3 days where Fauci hit the panic button and suddenly Rand Paul, who, you know, he didn't know what that guy's problem was. That's what he told Gayle King. Suddenly he seemed to be echoing a lot of the things that Rand Paul has been saying since jump. It's just all things to consider, of course. Now back to this wacky story. And you know, it's the New York Times, so they have to sprinkle in the right amount of snobbiness. You know, they have to show you that they're condescending, you know, and they want to make sure you know that they know that these mask-free people, the people that don't want to wear the masks, they know who you voted for. For people like Mr. Glickman, a combination of anxiety, murky information about new virus variants, oh, there's that word, variants, and the emergence of a sizable faction of vaccine holdouts means mask-free life is on hold, possibly forever. I should say, you know what? I should read this kind of like in my Dateline news voice. And then this is what Glickman says. I have no problem being one of the only people, but I don't think I'm going to be the only one. Whether, you know, some masks, they talk about bedazzled cloth. And a map of states that enforced mask mandates corresponds closely with how people in those states voted for president. You know what else it corresponds with, Jared?
What's that?
The number of deaths.
All right.
Most of the states that didn't enforce these mask mandates, they have a lot lower, fewer deaths than, say, New York or New Jersey or Massachusetts. Anywhere where a Needham High grad is governing. In interviews, vaccinated people who continue to wear masks said they are increasingly under pressure, especially in recent days. Friends and family have urged them to relax or even have suggested that they are paranoid. Seems, well, at least they have good family and friends. You know, that's comforting. But for some people, I'm skipping around here. If you want to read the entire thing, that's on you. For some people, no newfound freedom will persuade them to reveal their faces just yet. After a year, they say they have grown accustomed to the masks and glad for the extra safety they provide. It goes on to talk about this guy, George Jones. Now, the difference is George Jones is 82. He had, you know, he's had health problems. He says he's in no hurry to take his mask off. All right. That's one thing. But the one that's really interesting is Lenny Cohen, 51, a retired kindergarten teacher from New York City, who has a compromised immune system, said she planned to continue wearing a mask when she helped out as a substitute teacher. But what she would like more is for her students to stay masked. Kindergartners, while adorable, are quick to share their secretions. Ms. Cohen wrote in an email listing the illnesses, including cold, strep throat, pneumonia, influenza, that she has caught from her students over the years. This year is so different, she continued. The kids are not suckling on their hair or putting classroom objects or thumbs in their mouths. Their mouths and noses are covered, so I'm mostly protected from their sneezes and coughs. I can see keeping up with the mask. It is the safest I've ever felt in a classroom full of 5- and 6-year-olds. We can start to understand here a little bit why she's not doing as much teaching as she was. And she does admit, though, at the bottom of this piece, it says, Ms. Cohen, the school teacher, also said she recognized possible downsides. This is a possible downside, okay? At first, I thought, this is great. I'm never going to get sick again, she said of her plan to wear a mask to teach kindergarten going forward. Then I realized when I'm trying to teach vowels, they can't see my mouth.
Possibly.
It's just, I don't want to make fun because I know a lot of these people have, you know, compromised immune systems and they're scared and they're nervous, but there's nothing here based in logic. I mean, these people are not ready to live again. They are just ready to not die. And that is their prerogative, of course, but that is not usually the American way of life. We're not a country of bubble boys. You know, if you really want to protect yourself from absolutely everything, then I would suggest a padded cell and not ever leaving your home. Nick, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. Latest thing that Biden's doing is taking $2 billion from stockpile funds for COVID, if you will, appropriated by Congress, approved by Congress. Okay. Half of that is to rebuild the replenishment of inhalators, et cetera, materials, logistical things needed in case of another attack or a huge surge. The other half is for expanded testing. They're going to reduce testing. Well, that's going to, and where's the money going, the $2 billion? To take care of the children at the border. Okay. when you think about the testing thing, by the way, we now have an inflated 1.78% mortality rate, because when you reduce the factor of the total cases versus we divide that into the number of deaths, okay, that's never going to be true anymore. I suspect it hasn't been true for some while.
Well, Nick, I want to stop you there because we do have to go to break, but keep listening, and I'm going to tell you why. Rochelle Walensky actually brought this up when she was on with, I think it was Dana Bash. She was asked, you know, has anyone who's been vaccinated actually died from COVID? And she said, well, we've had cases of it, but they probably died from something else. And I thought, well, that's kind of the theory that's been happening a lot lately, is that it's more comorbidities and things like that, but COVID is very rarely the actual cause. Now, to what Nick was saying in the first part, he's absolutely right. The Biden administration, according to, I believe this is this Bloomberg? I'm not sure what the source is here. Business Insider. The Biden administration moved more than $2 billion earmarked for COVID measures to deal with the influx of migrants at the border. And I saw today, speaking of the border, I just want to get this in quick, Byron York had a great daily memo today, and he said they're not worried about stopping immigration at the border. They're trying to, you know, figure out how to allow it. And that is the big difference. It's not about stopping it. It's about just figuring out a way how to get them in. It says a disaster entirely of Biden's making. More than 12,500 Ecuadorians were encountered in March, up from 3,568 in January. And then there are migrants coming from India and Asia. Many of them are entering the United States through wide openings in the border wall near Arizona, sparing them from the risky routes through remote desert regions. Now the world is flooding in through gaps in the wall that Trump was able to build or strengthen. It's really, really, really crazy. Oh, this is it right here. The president is not trying to stop the flow of illegal crossers. Instead, he is trying to accommodate the flow. And that is the key. He's a very accommodating, decent, moral, handsome, grandfathery, whispery man. I've had my fair share of free lunches during my time at the Howie Carr Radio Network. We always are eating good in this neighborhood. It is always a spread of food. Everyone gets more than they can handle. And the restaurants always bring in delicious stuff. But one takes the cake. And that would be Aviva Trattoria. Aviva has the best food. They're the nicest people ever. I love everybody there so much. I actually went to the Aviva in Maynard. Beautiful spot if you're in the area. Make sure you check them out. They also have locations in Marlboro, Wrentham, and Westford, and a new location in Malden, which opens in June. That's very exciting. I know we got a lot of listeners in Malden, so make sure you keep that on your radar. I'm a big fan of the pizza, the sandwiches, the homemade chips. I have a sweet tooth, so I love the tiramisu and the cannoli. Jared, big pizza guy.
Love their pizza. Love their risottos as well.
And Jared, I don't want to speak out of turn, but you're a little bit of a pizza snob.
I am. I can definitely say I'm a pizza snob, and they are top notch.
Yes, they passed the Jared Diglio test, which really is saying something. To enter to win the Aviva VIP lunch in studio, go to gracecurlyshow.com, enter your email, that's gracecurlyshow.com, but also make sure you check out Aviva Trattoria at one of their locations. You can also get takeout, just great, delicious food, and something for everyone. If you have a picky eater, don't worry, you'll be all set at Aviva Trattoria. All right, we will be back with more of your calls before we have Neil McCabe at 1:30. It's 844-500-4242. And I think what I want to ask is, maybe I'll save this for the 2 o'clock. I'm thinking, what is Charlie Baker going to miss the most? Is it the numbers, talking about the numbers? Is it the, you know, there's so many different phrases. Play by the rules, be a team player, the community.
These are all important steps that continue to bring us closer to what we might call our ultimate new normal.
New normal. Thank you, Jared. All right, we'll be back, guys. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
You know, the part of this that kills me, and we've all seen it, is that so much of this, Rand Paul was 1,000% right. So much of this is theater. And I'm a theater major. I'm a thespian. Oh, no, Jared. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? We might have to go to this. I know, guys. I'm sorry. I see you on the lines. I know you want to talk 844-500-4242. But President Biden is, it says he's remarking amid mask confusion. Is he confused or is it the mask? Oh, you know what? Let's just go to it.
Millionaires and billionaires who escape taxes by cheating. But I also think we need to give ordinary families a break, a tax break, to help them with the cost of raising their kids. Most people don't know it, but for families with children, we put that tax cut into the American Rescue Plan, which was signed not long ago. And I signed the tax cut into law in March. 90% of the families, all middle-class, working-class families, will get this tax cut. It's a one-year cut that reduces your taxes by $3,000 a year for each child you have under the age of 18. Two kids, it's a $6,000 tax cut. And if those kids are under the age of six, they'll actually get $3,600 per child. So, as you file your taxes today, know that your tax cut is coming. Here's the great news. You won't have to wait until your next year's tax return to get that break. I'm announcing today that on July 15th and the 15th of every month thereafter throughout the year, you will get deposited in your bank account half of your tax cut, at least $250 per child each month, a direct deposit into your account. So if you're a working family with two kids, you're going to get $500 a month into your bank account on the 15th of every month, starting July. We're getting we are getting you a tax cut this year now when you need it and not have to wait. And if you get your tax cut refund deposited in your bank account automatically, this tax cut will be put into your account automatically. If not, it will be mailed to you. In addition to helping Americans hard-pressed
Yes, that's how automatic banking works.
Experts have told us this will cut child poverty in America in half. This tax cut sends a clear and powerful message to American working families with children. Help is here.
Now, we're here to help.
Another milestone on a long battle with COVID. Today, for the first time since the pandemic began, pandemic cases are down in all 50 states. First time. That's right. Thanks a lot to the hard work of so many people. COVID cases are down in all 50 states. Now, I can't promise that will continue this way. We know there will be advances and setbacks, and we know that there are many flare-ups that could occur. But if the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up, may see this progress reversed.
Please. Like Texas when they, all the credulous boomer, bitter, clinging, gun-toting, Bible Belt people in Texas, like they saw their cases rise. They had zero deaths reported. Enough with this narrative that, if you don't do what we want you to do, bad things will happen. Impending doom awaits. BS. I'm so over it. Like the panic porn, the fear mongering. He's got two switches. He's either telling you how much money he's going to give you, because, you know, you can't make money yourself. You're a moron. So he's going to give it to you. He's either telling you how much money he's giving you, or he's telling you that things are going to be bad if you don't do what he says. Enough. Enough. Biden COVID remarks amid mass confusion. I wonder why there's mass confusion. Could it be because he doesn't wear one when he's posing with a 99-year-old Jimmy Carter? He's not 99, but he's ancient. And then he wears one when he's picking a dandelion for Dr. Jill. Where could the confusion come from? I have no idea. I don't know either, Joe. I don't know either. Neil McCabe's coming up next. Good Lord.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so we will... See, I never know with these things. I don't know if it's a good tease or if it's just a way to get people to switch off the radio. But if you know what? Here's how I'll say it. If there's anything worth playing from Biden's current speech, we will cut it and we will play it for you in short, very short tidbits later on. So don't go anywhere. I hope you didn't just shut your radios off because we're only going to give you what you need to hear, of course.
Come on, man.
There are a lot of updates. I do at some point today, this show is going by so fast, I do want to get to the Rand Paul. He was really breaking down what the issues are with gain of function research and what Dr. Fauci is not telling you. I think that's all worth playing. But there's a lot of, foreign policy issues happening right now and big stories to cover. And I thought, who better to bring on than Neil McCabe? Thank you so much for joining us, Neil.
Oh, really glad to be with you, Grace. I feel the pressure. I'm going up against the big dog, Joe Biden, but I'm up to it.
Oh, I have a feeling you're going to do just fine against Joe Biden, Neil. Hey, Neil, before we even get going, where can people read all of your work if they jump on here and they go, oh, I really like this guy. I'm glad she's not playing Joe Biden. I want to read his stuff. Where can they go?
You need to go to the Tennessee Star, which is the flagship of the Star News Network, and you can find me on Twitter at Neil W. McCabe, NEILWMCCABE2 on the Twitter.
So I'm glad you brought up Twitter because I can usually figure out what Neil is working on, what he's interested in based off his tweets. And it seems like you are very, very intrigued by this story about the AP office that was destroyed by an Israel airstrike. Can you tell us a little bit about this story, Neil, and why it caught your eye?
Well, what caught my attention is that, reporters are naturally curious people. And I've been a reporter working in buildings with other companies and other offices. And, when I was at the Pilot, the Boston Archdiocese paper, I would walk around all the different offices to see what was going on. When I was at, One America News, we were in a 15-story building. I would go up and down. I would go through the directory. There are probably people here I can talk to. When the Israeli Defense Forces took down that office building in Gaza that housed the tactical operations centers and other staging areas or staging facilities for Hamas, the Associated Press announces, hold on, we're in that building. Why are you attacking us? And then they're like, we had no idea that Hamas has been here for the last 15 years, which is absurd to me. It's absolutely ridiculous to me. I've been into your studio, Grace, and, I can imagine that you probably know the dentists or other people that are in your building. I think if Hamas had an office in your building, you'd know it.
Well, Neil, this is how I'd put it. I don't think Neil McCabe or Howie Carr would be in the same building as Hamas and not figure it out within probably 2 hours.
Right. And so it turns out that 5 years ago, somebody wrote an article about the fact that Associated Press not only knows that they're in the building with Hamas, they deliberately ignore the Hamas terrorist actions that go on in their neighborhood, and that the Hamas terrorists regularly come into the AP offices and harangue them and threaten them. And so it's like every day they know that they're interacting with Hamas. They're basically their roommates. It's like it's like Frank Lutz and Kevin McCarthy here, and then the AP Twitter account keeps putting out they just put out maybe an hour ago. Anthony Blinken said that he had no idea that Hamas was in our building. We demand an investigation. It's ridiculous.
Well, Neil, I want to keep going with this theme of ridiculousness, because there's another situation that I actually think is a perfect segue here, which is you look at places like CNN, MSNBC, all these anchors, they're all tattletales. They all go through all the tweets. And, you know, if a young kid gets drafted to the NFL, they find an old tweet from 2011 where he said something bad and they get him canceled. Sure. And then yet we hear that CNN has a freelancer who is not just anti-Semitic, but he's extremely vocal about being pro-Hitler. He has, I'm looking at his tweets right now. His name is Adil Raja. One of them says, "Hail Hitler. The only reason I am supporting Germany in the finals is Hitler was a German and he did good with those Jews." I mean, these are incredibly offensive and violent tweets. And once again, CNN, I think they had this guy on staff for quite some time. They had no idea, Neil. How would they know? How would they figure that out?
I think that at one point he tweeted out in the last few days, "We need another Hitler." And it's absolutely horrific that this even exists. And you know, and CNN didn't fire him right away either. And, you know, how you don't know is crazy. Because even when somebody is a freelancer, you know, when you have a freelancer relate or stringer relationship with a news organization, there is an editor or somebody who is like in touch with you and watching you all the time. They know what you do because they want to see if you're writing for another outlet. They want to see if you're giving someone else your best work and then giving them crap. Like, they follow you like a hawk. The idea that they would know this is so crazy. And but there's no, you know, if it hadn't been brought up, nothing would be done. And it just tells you that the anti-Semitism has been so normalized. We're not as bad as it is in England right now, which is completely off the charts, but it's getting worse. And it's part of this whole anti-Israel has been normalized in my lifetime, which was something that I never thought I'd live to see. And that's just sort of bleeding in to a robust, healthy, sort of intellectually honest discussion about the Jews. And we see it in Congress with Ilhan Omar. And it's like normal. And it's really frightening.
Yeah, no, you absolutely put that in the perfect way, because my dad said the same thing. I mean, he said to me, "I never thought I would see the day where this is kind of, you know, the Democrats think this is all right to talk like this." We see it. I mean, I watch MSNBC and CNN sometimes, and it's, you know, there's different levels of it. They can be a little subtle about it, but there's definitely anti-Semitism in our mainstream media right now, just by the way they're covering this situation.
Right, and there was always sort of like a subtle thing that on sitcoms or in movies, the Jewish character always had certain traits, but that really went away in my lifetime, you know. And there was a time when Jewish actors or singers had to change their name, and you know that really has gone away too. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Tony Curtis was Henry Schwartz. You know, Ralph Lauren was Ralph Lipschitz, like, you know, and it just is normal now that people just don't have to change their name. But I think we're going back to that place.
Yeah, it's very scary. And I'm glad we talked about that, because I've been thinking the same thing today. Neil, I do want to get your take on this very quick U-turn by Dr. Fauci and Rochelle Walensky. It seems like they went one day from saying one thing and the next day they totally changed it up. And the reason behind it, Rochelle Walensky said, well, the science is evolving. But a lot of people feel like they just kind of panicked as it became more and more clear that there was no science involved in this whatsoever.
Well, not only is there no science, right? But, you know, it's like, you know, the head of the CDC was saying, you know, in her testimony, like, I'm not even going to send my son to camp, and there's no discussion. You people want everyone dead. And then 2 days later, it's like, forget it. Never mind. It's, you know, The so-called turnaround that everybody's been worried that Fauci is keep saying, there's going to be a turnaround, but not yet. It's here. We're done. It's like Biden said that Texas was, that they were behaving like Neanderthals, and Texas just recorded its first day with zero COVID deaths. They keep trashing the way Ron DeSantis has been handling COVID-19 in Florida. Florida is doing exceptionally well compared to other places. Fauci is a fraud. Fauci is ridiculous. Do you know what year Fauci started working for NIH, Grace?
You know what? Howie Carr actually told me this today. Was it in the 60s?
1968. When the top-selling single was Hey Jude by the Beatles, and Bill Russell still had another year to play for the Celtics. So, you know, the guy makes $430,000 a year.
Yeah, and he knows it's ending.
What?
He knows... What? He knows that this 15 minutes of fame is totally ending, and I hope, I mean,
yes,
at least.
But it's bigger. There's one bigger thing that happened, and it's actually bigger than COVID. I believe that the Biden White House was looking at its internal polling, and they completely screwed the pooch on the jobs report. They have gas lines. They have inflation is coming up the wazoo, where the Fed, everyone knows that the Fed is lying about this trend. Somehow this inflation is transitory, which is completely absurd. It's like the border is out of control. The Democrats on Capitol Hill are looking at the red wave coming at them in 2022. Biden has run out of runway. I've said to you this before. Biden has run out of runway. If he doesn't get anything, if he doesn't get things passed by July 4th, he is a lame duck. And when they saw these poll numbers, they just told everybody, forget it. Turn around. We're no longer fighting this. Biden wanted us in masks forever.
Oh, no, I totally agree. The perpetual forever pandemic. Neil McCabe, I do have to go. I want everyone to check out your stuff at the Tennessee Star. And I think you're on point with all of this. I'm glad we got to, because, Neil, you know how these shows go. I talk about something and then I stay on it for a little bit longer than I intend. And I miss some of these great stories like CNN, like the AP. But everyone should be hearing about this. It's crazy. As Neil said, you know, you're on the same floor or the same building as Hamas and you don't figure it out. It's and yet Neil, these same people
hi, we're Hamas, we brought you a cake.
These same people, I mean, if they want to, they can figure out how many you know, how many bowls of fresh water Ted Cruz's dog is getting when he's in Cancun. They can really hit the pavement when they want to. It's just, you know, the Hamas thing, they let that one slip. Neil, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
All right, be good, Grace, bye.
Neil is the best, and he keeps up with all of this. There's so much news to get to. And speaking of that, I have a royal update, and I have masking updates, because as much as Charlie Baker is folding, Howie said this a few weeks ago, or no, not a few weeks ago, last week, he said this is going to separate the men from the boys. You know, who's really committed to this cause? Who really is in the game of virtue signaling? And we have two front runners, Phil Murphy, and a mayor. I'm not going to tell you who, but she's one of my favorites. All right. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate right now is crazy. It is just, whether you're buying or selling, you want somebody on your side who's looking out for your best interest. Real estate brokers are holding call for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you have realized all of the money for your property and if you sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. No, you would not. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified, cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table, which is the best feeling after you sell a piece of property, is to go, I did the best I could. I got the most money I could out of that. And you can just walk away very happy. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with the broker, you pay the commission. But in a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. We're going to open up the lines. We have a lot of sound for you on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Gosh, there's not enough time in the day to keep up with this news. I still haven't even gotten to all the sound I want to play. It's overwhelming. But the big announcement I have to tell you guys right now is that another company has decided no masks.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hey. Target. Target is dropping the mask mandates. And coincidentally, I will be doing a little bit of shopping today at Target. Got to get some paper towels, maybe a little bit of a lip balm. So it looks like I'll be going there, spending my dollars at Target. That's good news. But here's the thing. Some governors and politicians, dictators, whatever you want to call them, they are staying strong. And we talked about this with Howie. We said, you know, there's going to be people who don't abandon ship, who are not going to raise the white flag. They're going to ride this thing till the end. And one of those people is Governor Phil Murphy from New Jersey. He tweeted out, "We're very close to defeating this pandemic. With every shot, we get closer. Every time you put your mask on when walking indoors, we get closer. Keep it up, and we'll get there even quicker." That is coming from the man who I think behind New York has the highest death rates from COVID in his state. You know, just that's just a complete side note. Now, there's another person who wants you to know that they are not giving up on the masks. And I kind of understand this one because Mayor Lori Lightfoot, she has really taken a hit as far as popularity. I don't know if you saw that, Jared, but she gave a lot of money to actually funding the police, which lost her tons of points with the woke crowd. And for people who don't know, Lori Lightfoot was the mayor who said, you know, she had shut down all the barbershops, but she got her haircut because she's the face of Chicago. And listen to what she had to say about people wearing their masks. Cut 18.
So I think for the time being, most people are going to continue to wear masks outside and outside of their homes. And I think that's smart.
And then cut 17, please.
I know for me personally, I'm going to continue to wear a mask in public and I'm going to encourage others to do so. We've got to make sure that people are continuing to follow the public health guidance that has gotten us this far. And masks, I think, are a big and important part of that.
The public health guidance is the reason for so many issues right now in this country. I don't understand when people say that with a straight face. Like, the top experts in the world. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Not in my book. But it's interesting because they don't want to give it up. And then on another update, this is the episode of updates. New York to let vaccinated people ditch masks. And I think, Jared, this is going to happen Wednesday. So
effective this Wednesday, we're going to adopt the CDC's new guidance and regulations on masks and social distancing for vaccinated people. By the CDC guidance, immunocompromised people, unvaccinated people should continue to wear a mask and social distance. But if you are vaccinated, you are safe. No masks, no social distancing.
The social
now,
distancing.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to ride this rigatoni into the sky.
The social distancing is still going to apply to Andrew Cuomo, I think. All right, we'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.